So, hey, Hoven.
Yeah?
Did you know that Tite Kubo released a one-shot in 2018, and it's apparently getting serialized?
Oh, really? Wow!
And coincidentally, it's also named after after my favorite Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged catchphrase.
No way! Which one?
That's right. We are today talking about Tite Kubo's one-shot, My Voice Gives Me Super Strength.
Aw, wicked!
Welcome, dear all, to the mini-podcast edition of Manga Mosaic, where we take a look at jump starts and one-shots old and new. Today we are talking about Burn the Witch, a one-shot by Tite Kubo, published on the... I just wrote down the numbers, so I kind of stammered.
The July the 16th, 2018...
That's right. That's the number. I'm Wensdale Cheddar.
And I'm Hoven with an H, a.k.a. Dr. Hoven.
Nice. And why are we talking about it now? A piece of news recently came out from Shonen Jump. Milo, would you like to talk about it?
Yes. So, in a recent Bleach live stream that was originally meant to be a big event, but they had to close it down because of coronavirus, they've announced that not only is the final arc of Bleach getting an anime adaptation, which it previously didn't have, but that his this one shot was getting both a serialized version, like basically just a new serialized version of it in Jump by Kubo, and another anime adaptation of its own. The serialization will be happening this summer, and the anime seems to have at this point been confirmed for fall.
It's a surprising piece of news that Kubo is having such a comeback. I don't know whether they're giving this a shot because of being disappointed by Kishimoto's recent hijinks. I don't know.
It's quite funny. The news came out literally the day they announced that Samurai 8 was ending.
All right. So I guess we should perhaps talk a bit about our attitudes and opinions on Kubo's creations in general. Like, for example, on his previous piece, Bleach, I was definitely a fan of his early stuff. Kubo seemed to be great at creating a familiar urban environment with mystical elements. He was best to me at personal stories with kind of simple rules. And for me, as stakes got larger and higher and the world expanded, as well as the cast, I found it harder and harder to engage, and I found the story overall messier. What was your experience?
Well, I found Bleach immensely frustrating because he spends almost 400 episodes and hundreds upon hundreds of chapters looking for Bleach, and he doesn't once go to the 99p store to just, you know, buy the product. I mean, at least One Piece has the excuse that they live in a fantasy world where, okay, maybe they can't go to KFC to get One Piece, you know? But no, this takes place in a grounded, realistic setting, so it's simply unreasonable to think that they couldn't just go to a store for it. Ugh, what false advertising.
I guess maybe they, in their world, Bleach was the equivalent of toilet paper in our world now.
Oh, maybe. In all seriousness, I am very nostalgic for Bleach. I got into all of the big three in about the same year, and Bleach was the first one that really hooked me a lot in the long term. I pretty much enjoyed the whole thing, the odd filler arc aside, up until the very end of the Arrancar arc, where I just felt the final battle between Ichigo and Aizen was incredibly anticlimactic. And then I was immensely disappointed with the next two arcs, and I followed the Thousand Year Blood War week to week. That was not a fun experience. I didn't like how he constantly substituted in enemies out of nowhere. I didn't really engage with what he was putting out just because of, I think, the general sense of disappointment. And I kind of left it for a while. And then recently I had one of my close friends really get into Bleach, like just 10 years after the fact almost. And sort of watching her get into it has rekindled my fondness for the series a lot. Just seeing each reveal and getting into all the characters, and it sort of took me back a lot. And I have gone back and reread Because I'd only seen the anime for the earlier arcs, but I have reread up until the start of the Arrancar arc and was really surprised by how much I enjoyed the Soul Society stuff. I think Kubo's art and designs and panel work is absolutely incredible. On a sheer art level, I think you could make a case for him being the best, one of the best mangaka that has ever been in Jump. Although that is, he has a lot of competition there. And yeah, I did start to sort of, what's the word? I did start to, like, taper out a bit towards the earlier Rankar stuff, but I'm also just bad at sticking to stuff, so it could be that I'll end up enjoying that on a reread as well. But yeah, I'm very... I have a lot... Even though his writing isn't always up to par, I always have a fondness for his aesthetic.
I do definitely like Kubo's art. His style is not particularly my thing. I do realise that it's always on model, and it is pretty expressive, but I guess for some reason it didn't really stick with me as like one of my favorite art styles in Jump, I guess.
Yes, it's very much on the extreme, like, sleek shonen end of the spectrum, whereas something like Toriko or One Piece is on the... Well, I'd say, like, Toriko's on the far opposite end, and then One Piece is somewhere in between them.
Yeah.
But leaning more towards Toriko.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate the clarity in the paneling and storyboarding it has. I do like, for example, One Piece's very, very chaotic backgrounds. I do realize that it can be hard to read sometimes. And with this, and for example, Siren, I always know what I'm looking at, what I'm supposed to look at. It does come at a slight cost of the backgrounds and the settings sometimes being kind of boring.
Mm. It kind of, as Bleach goes on, it kind of becomes this push and pull for me of, like, the series does have a very minimalistic aesthetic to boot, so how much can I fault the sparseness of the backgrounds? And I guess on a reread I'll be interesting to see where I hit that point. If I do at all.
It's easy on assistance, I guess. I guess we should talk a bit about the actual one-shot. So, Burn the Witch is a story that takes place in reverse London, where residents are tormented by dragons. So, Wingbind is an organization that conserves the dragons for kind of natural resources. We follow Noelle and Nini, two members of Wingbind, who end up meeting a boy obsessed with Noelle's knickers and killing his best friend and dog. I think that's it. Do you think that summary needs any clarification?
Well, maybe the fact that his dog was actually a disguiser-type dragon.
Oh, yeah.
As was his best friend.
I hate to get into this so early, since I kind of try to avoid the kind of cinema sins plot hell pointing kind of criticism that's going on around on YouTube, but what the fuck was Selby's motivation here? So, after Selby the human dies at the age of 7, I guess, in a tragic accident, the dragon that possesses him spends 10 years as Bargo's best friend. He avoids reverse London like the plague, still kind of pretending to know nothing about Wingbind, saying stuff like that doesn't really make sense for him to say. Once the dog is transformed into a dragon, he kind of changes his mind on the spot and tries to eat the witches to gain immortality. I don't know whether I missed something, but I read this a few times, and
honestly, the matter of his, like, motivation never even came across my mind, just because I was more focused on what the other characters were doing. But yeah, no, I don't. I couldn't possibly piece together what it is.
Oh, I see. What did you think overall about this one-shot?
So, when it first came out, I was very negative on it, because I think it was residual disappointment with how Bleach ended, and it was sort of pouring into this. On a reread, I'm more middling. I think the art is very cool, and I do like the dragons on a conceptual level and some of how they're executed. but the whole manga is just sort of, so much of it is based around the gag of people talking about knickers, which in a couple of one-off panels are kind of funny. Like, there was one where, like, it was just him walking down the street away from Selvie, and he's like, is this about the knickers again? And she's like, you refuse to hear me out about the knickers. And if that had been, like, it, that would have been quite funny. But the problem is, they constantly repeat the word knickers over and over and over and over again. And this joke about him, I called him Bravo in my notes. Blah. Bargo wanting to see Noel's knickers. And it's not even particularly fan servicey. It's just meant to be the humor. So, and I don't find that very funny.
It's weird. I'm kind of half suspecting it being translated for an American audience and see British words.
Yeah. I mean, even if you just take away like the fact that they use British words a lot, because they do that a lot in several cases. Like Selby calls him mate, and one of them says bloody at one point. So they clearly committed to that quite a lot, but it's just the fact that the humour is just based around underwear, lol.
Which is in a sense quite funny. You see, British people are British, but Japanese people are obviously American.
Oh, I can't wait for the dub of this where they just keep all of the slang words but don't bother getting British voice actors in.
Oh god, it's little Witch Academia all over again.
Yeah, no, that is one thing that came to mind actually. I think Little Witch Academia is a similar, very Harry Potter tribute-ish anime, but I think executes the idea with a lot more charm and creativity than this does. Actually, no, I don't even need to compare it to the full-fledged out series. There's like a short movie, which was the first thing they made for Little Witch Academia, and just comparing and contrasting the two, I'd make the same point. So I guess I could just go through my notes and just go through general thoughts on stuff. So one comment that I found really funny at the start was South Braxton High uniforms aren't usually black. Is this just to imply that she wears a black uniform because she's a witch?
It's weird. Maybe she's a neighbor from maybe she's an alien from another world, from World Trigger, and the organization or the schools, I guess, uniforms are usually white. I don't know. The main objective of this one shot was, I guess, to set the world building, and for the most part, I think it succeeded in that. I like the premise, though. I think it would work better if it weren't spoiled. Revealed to be a Bleach spin-off at the end. I don't think the like bestiary system of dragons serves itself too well with Hollows and other like spiritual world creatures that we knew.
Yeah, I'd sort of prefer it if the serialization version of it leaned away from that.
Yes. If it weren't its own thing, especially since like the Western branch of Soul Society is just people who are alive. For the story, it was quite simple. It had quite a limited cast, but at the same time, we've mentioned it's kind of all over the place. I'm not sure if I like how the girls are already part of an organization. It kind of makes the world building less fun when they don't really discover it. The narrator just says stuff about the world to the reader and that's it. It was a really strong part of Bleach at the beginning of that series. I hope they do reboot chapter one and give us the moments where
usually serializations based on one shots are just straight from the ground up reboots.
Okay.
At least that was the case with, like, you know, whenever a major series based on a one shot happens, like, you know, One Piece had it, Food Wars had it. I think Naruto had a one shot as well.
I'm just wondering, since Kubo is an established author in Jump, so I guess you wouldn't really need to have a pitch.
Well, okay, so apparently it's only going to be... So I don't know if you know this, but it's apparently only going to be a short-term serialization.
Okay.
He's not planning on making it a long-running series. There was an interview that came out, which was very interesting, in that, like, He said initially this was just going to be something that he showed family and friends, just a thing for, like, personal and, you know, personal, his own personal sense of accomplishment. But
okay.
In showing it to his editors, they were like, no, you should actually publish this. Don't know what that's indicative of, but yeah, it's probably only going to be about, like, a long volume's worth.
Ah, in this case, I'm maybe kind of disappointed, since the girls don't really have the time to, have the personality shine through this chapter and kind of make an impression, nor do they really change. You said that you are most interested in the other characters. I was kind of the most invested in the conflict with Bargo and Selby's friendship, and kind of got disappointed when it's got totally shat on.
Oh, no. What I meant was I was just concentrating on what they were doing. And that also includes Bravo. Bravo. Bargo. Bargo. I keep on calling him Bravo based on this one mistake in my notes that I never repeat.
Bravo is my favourite character.
It's not that I was, like, particularly invested or interested in them. I guess other things that were very much lifts from Harry Potter that I noticed was the phone box going into the ground.
Oh yeah,
was a big one.
I was going to say, is that a Harry Potter reference, or is that the Doctor Who reference?
Well, the phone box doesn't go into the ground in Doctor Who; it just vanishes. So I just, like, with the whole wizard and witches theme, I assumed that was going to be. It could have been something else that I haven't seen. And then there's also the idea of the reverse London, of, like, the magical version of our world being just, like, beyond the reach of non-magic users, something they can't see.
Okay. I guess they do in part 5 show that it's kind of the entrance to the Ministry of Magic, is it?
Yes. No, that's what I was thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought the giant great camel was really cool. That's just a cool idea for a monster. The opening panel of him just shown from really far away with a little ladder. It's quite striking. If the serialization includes more cool giant monsters, I'm down for that. I do have to wonder what the equivalent to weeb was in the original Japanese, because there's one point where, like...
Otaku, I guess?
I think it was Nini called... because, like, Nini calls Noel a weeb. Yeah, so I found the spacing was often quite unclear. Like, for example, I assumed that when they came back to find the disguises, that Noel and Nini were, like, talking to each other quite high up above them, and they're not raising their... They don't seem to be raising their voices. But then just Selby and Bargo just, like, can seem to be able to overhear them. Because he's like, oh, that's your reaction for hearing that Otsushi's dead? This is a hypothetical. I might have preferred it if Bargo's reaction to seeing Selby as a dragon hadn't been initially played for comedy. Like, if we'd gotten a moment of shock from him. But then again, he does come off as a comedic character. And having him at first be comedic, but then show, like, genuine concern for his friend does seem to be what they're going for. Like, you can't just assume that he's just doing this because he's a goofy horn dog. So, yeah.
That's why I am kind of disappointed that in the end, I mean, it was, I guess, a bit of a funny moment when Nini was like, what, you think we're actually going to spare him? But it kind of took away Bargo's most engaging trait that he still cared about his friend and that he considered the dragon he basically lived with, his friend. And otherwise, he's a bit of a bore with an overdone gag.
Yeah, the groping gag is really over. It's just such an overplayed thing, and it's never funny. But yeah, no. I guess apart from that, I don't have much more to say about the one shot itself. I'm definitely going to check out the serialization. If nothing else, I'm interested to see if Kubo comes up with any cool character designs for it.
I am cautiously optimistic for the series, but at the same time, I can't wait to see more Kuboisms and his insane manga chapter titles.
Yeah.
Why me sad?
Why me sad?
Looking forward to the serialization and to the adaptation of the Thousand Year Blood War arc. I hardly remember it, and I don't know if it will be as funny without Yuha Bark being a southern preacher.
Yeah, we will have lost that. I'm very interested. I'm pretty down for that as long as they get like a lot of good staff on it. I think Pierrot, when they were adapting the Bleach manga, translated it very well aesthetically. So as long as it doesn't necessarily have to be the same staff, but like just as long as it's in a similar vein to that, and it's given a lot of resources and attention, I'm pretty excited for that, because there were some cool fights in that arc. Just for sheer insanity points, I cannot wait to see what Ponida looks like in action.
Baby, hold your hand. All right, and if Burn the Witch doesn't work out, then at least we'll have yet another Kubo sequel series. Screw the rules, I have money.
Nice.
This will be his collab with Inagaki.
Is this another crossover?
All right. So this manga was called Burn the Witch, but what you should also burn is the YouTube algorithm, the dark abyss of sorrows and woes from which videos like these never surface. To help me navigate it, you can subscribe if you haven't already, like the video, or the podcast, I guess, or share it on social media. And if you'd like to help me upload these on a regular basis, consider supporting me on patreon.com/wensleydalecheddar. In return for your support, you get access to rewards such as an entire backlog of manga and anime reviews. At just the $1 tier, you can access our bonus mini podcast series where I Draw Shitty Art and I watch through the entirety of the Pokemon Sun and Moon anime. I'm having real fun with it, and we're at episode 9, I think, that should be out this month. Alright. So, Hoven, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Hoven with an H, and also on YouTube at Hoven with an H. I lied and said I was going to do a Stampede video. I'm not. I'd have maybe done a podcast if anyone else had gotten a chance to see it, but they haven't, so it's pretty inactive at the moment. Maybe I'll get a Hoven's Hideaway going, maybe see if anyone's up for talking over Samurai 8 now that it's Big F. But apart from that, yeah, just check out my vids. Yeah.
Nice. So, what did you think of Burn the Witch, or of Bleach for that matter? Let us know in the comments, and take care.
Kubo, please, please design some good waifus for this, please.
Burn the Witch!